Helen and Penny, thank you very much for those readings. Now, for those who are visitors on these Sunday mornings this term, we're doing a series on the Lord's Prayer, and we come this morning to the phrase, "Give us today our daily bread." And of the six petitions that are contained in the Lord's Prayer, this is the one, until this last week, I used to pray with least passion. Because why do I need to ask God for my daily bread when, quite frankly, I can toddle over to Sainsbury's any time I want, and for a couple of quid, I can buy any kind of bread I want. White, brown, thick, medium, or thin sliced. Granary, wholemeal, bloomer, tiger bread, baguette, naan, soda bread. The list is endless. Nor do I have to worry about there being any shortage. Previous generations in this country might have worried about having no food. But our generation in this country doesn't have to worry. Even those of us who are currently in real financial difficulties don't face the prospect of starvation, unlike other parts of the world. So is this part of the Lord's Prayer redundant for those of us who live in the affluent West with its wealth and welfare state? Well, as you can imagine, the answer is a resounding no. In fact, as we shall discover, because of our affluence, we need to pray this petition even more urgently. So let's pray now and ask God to open the eyes of our heart to receive and understand his word. Let's pray. So our gracious God and Father, we indeed do cry to you and ask that you would open our eyes, that we may behold wonderful things from your word, that we may be changed by it, that our attitudes and understanding might be changed, so that we may see things as you see them. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, it's extraordinary how the little phrase, "Give us today our daily bread," has caused so much discussion amongst theologians and Bible scholars. The word for bread is simple enough to translate, but the word for daily is notoriously difficult. It means for the coming day, which could mean for today, or for tomorrow, or for some other time in the future. And then people debate over whether Jesus, when he commands his disciples to pray for our daily bread, is primarily thinking of our spiritual needs or our physical ones. Well, I think that the answer to those questions can be answered when we consider how bread is spoken about elsewhere in the Bible. And the two readings we have had read for us this morning will help us greatly on this. So keep your service sheet in John chapter 6, if you've got that open, because we're going to be referring to that in a moment. But could you turn back to the first reading we had, to Exodus chapter 16 on page 74. You all got that? Now, I've got three main headings for us this morning. And let me warn you in advance that we're going to spend most of our time on the first one. So, clock watchers, don't panic. And we're going to spend most of our time in the first one, which is this. When we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," we are expressing to God our daily dependence on him for all our material needs. We're expressing to God our daily dependence on him for all our material needs. Now, one of the chief lessons the people of Israel had to learn after God brought them out of Egypt was to trust God to provide them with food. That whole generation had seen God act powerfully on their behalf in the most dramatic and miraculous ways. For instance, they had seen the plagues he had sent on Egypt, 10 of them. The last of which resulted in literally Pharaoh driving them out of the land, saying, "Go!" they had experienced the rescue through the Red Sea. Can you imagine what that was like? You know, walls of water, they passed through it, and the sea came down and destroyed the Egyptian army. They had witnessed that. They then got thirsty and been provided by God with water in the desert. But now at the beginning of chapter 16, they're grumbling against God and Moses because they face a severe food shortage. And isn't that just typical of human nature? Aren't we all naturally like that? We experience so much blessing from God. He supplies us with abundant resources. We, who live this side of Jesus' death and resurrection, know how he even gave up the Lord Jesus for us. But the moment we face a serious crisis, we immediately panic and complain. Well, anyway, in Exodus chapter 16, we read how every day for the next 40 years, God provided bread from heaven for the Israelites. And this was a key moment in their national life, which they were to remember for future generations. That's the point of those instructions that were given at the end of the chapter about how some manna should be collected and put in a jar as a constant reminder to God's people of his ability to care and provide for them. But what the Israelites were to remember was not just that God had provided for them, but how God had provided for them. So look at Exodus chapter verses 4 and 5. We hadn't had those read, but the key verses. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So God richly provides for his people, but at the same time, he is testing them. And there are two parts to this test. First, they're only to gather enough manna for one day. In other words, they can't store it up. They can't do a big Waitrose shop and put it in the freezer. They must trust God to provide enough bread for each day. God keeps them depending daily on him. And the second part of the test involves them not gathering any bread on the Sabbath. But what happens? Well, sadly, they fail both tests. Well, some of them do at any rate. Verse 20, however, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. So rather than have enough food for that day and trust the Lord for tomorrow, they said, there is no guarantee about tomorrow. We had better save some for breakfast, because you can't really rely on God. You can't be sure that he will keep his word and send some bread tomorrow. So when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we are in effect praying, Lord, we don't want to be like those Israelites who failed to trust in your provision. Instead, we are looking to you, our Heavenly Father, and we are trusting you to provide what we need for each day. See, when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we're looking not at our resources or lack of them, but at our Heavenly Father, who provides all resources. And if we do this, it will have a number of implications. And I'm going to spend the next little while looking at those. The first is this. It will have implications for our aspirations. We won't seek to be rich and well off. If we're praying meaningfully, give us today our daily bread, we will not be seeking to be rich and well off. Did you hear about the recent payout of the Euro lottery? It was the biggest one. Somebody has won a staggering £113 million. Well, Lord, God stop us for that, couldn't he? I don't know. I think there was something. They hadn't come forward. I don't know. I didn't read the rest of the story, but they have eventually come forward. I think it was earning something like kind of hundreds of thousands of interest just every week for whoever has got that. And I don't know about you, but when I hear news like that, I sometimes catch myself thinking, wouldn't it be brilliant to suddenly find yourself with £130 million. And then I start to fantasize about all the good and all the fun I could have with it. But such thoughts, even when you imagine what a great philanthropist you're going to be, actually are utterly godless. Because our thoughts are being taken up with resources rather than with the God who provides the resources. So much better is the aspiration of Agia, son of Jake. Yep, he's not a household name, is he? But in the book of Proverbs, a great prayer of his is recorded. For any of you taking notes, it's Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 9. Don't turn to it, but just listen as I tell you what he says. This is his prayer. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty or riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. See, that is the prayer of a wise man. That is the prayer of a man taken up with God. And the Lord Jesus himself endorses that prayer and says, absolutely right. That is what God's people should be praying for. Not make me rich, but give us today our daily bread. So it has implications for our aspirations. It also has implications for those who are well off. See, the great problem with riches and financial security is that they can so easily make us forget God. This was the great concern that Moses had for the Israelites just before they entered the promised land. You see, whilst the Israelites were dependent on God, providing him with kind of manna each day, it was hard for them to forget that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. But Moses foresaw that once they had settled in the promised land and started to work the land, and were no longer dependent on the manna for their survival, they would start to think, and I quote, my work and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But Moses said, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. See, the chief way that God provides us with resources to feed and care for ourselves is the ability to work. But as we go about our work, we're to recognize is that it's the God who gives us the strength and the energy to get up in the morning. It is he who gives us our abilities. It is he who gives us the opportunities in life. We are dependent on God for everything we have and are. Last Wednesday, like many, I was gripped with a wonderful spectacle of those Chilean miners being pulled one by one from their subterranean prison. Wednesday's my day off, and I think for 2 hours I just watched News 24. I just couldn't get enough of it. It was the best kind of good news story that I think most friends ever been. Everything about it was a positive. For the previous 70 days, they had been kept alive by food and medicines being sent down to them in tiny capsules named doves. And those 33 miners were all abundantly clear that they were being kept alive and provided for by others on the service. In fact, it seems that all of them became conscious that they were ultimately being kept alive and provided for by God. But whoever we are, and whatever our financial situation, we're all essentially in the same boat as those miners. Now, in our wealth, we must not forget that if it were not for God's daily provision, we would not survive. And when we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," we are acknowledging that. And there's also an implication for those of us who are going through a period of hardship, financial hardship. And with the recession and the lack of jobs, there are many of us who are going through tough times. And we are to view those times of shortage from John chapter 6 on page 1070. You all got it? Now, Jesus has just fed a very large crowd with a boy's packed lunch. And this crowd of over 5,000 men, thrilled to have full stomachs, want to make Jesus their king. And who can blame them? You know? That's the sort of king he wants, isn't it? Anyway, Jesus slips away. But eventually, a number of the crowd catch up with him. And Jesus directs them away from the food, as he says, that spoils, bread, fish, whatever it is, to the food that endures to eternal life, which he will give them. And then later on in verse 51, he specifically explains what that bread is. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." So just as the manna kept the Israelites alive and nourished them until God brought them into the promised land, so Jesus' crucified body is what keeps us spiritually healthy until God brings us into the new creation. So Jesus is the fulfillment of the manna in the desert. He is the ultimate bread from heaven. And it's a reminder to us that all that God did for the Israelites as he brought them out of slavery in Egypt and brought them through the desert into the promised land is a model, like a kind of a preview or of the far greater deliverance and protection he's achieved for us in Jesus as he rescues us from the slavery of sin and leads us through this life until we die or Christ's return, whichever is sooner. So Jesus is the true Passover lamb who delivers us from slavery to sin, and Jesus is the true manna which daily feeds and keeps us spiritually alive. It's only because of Jesus' death that I have any spiritual life in me today. So we don't just start the Christian life trusting in Jesus' death for our sin. We continue the Christian life in the same Spain on the same basis. So we are daily dependent on God, not only for all our material needs, but also for all our spiritual needs. Now, this is very important that we get our thinking right on this matter. Because we can easily slip into thinking that it's actually we who provide for our spiritual needs by our Christian disciplines, such as attending church regularly, or reading our Bibles, or being active in Christian service and in prayer. And yes, all those things are important for our enjoyment of God, our Christian growth, and our effectiveness as Christ's disciples. But none of those things can either make me or keep me spiritually alive. Because for the sins I have committed and will commit today, I deserve hell. Now, only God can keep me and make me spiritually alive. And that is why Jesus commands us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." And what a wonderful encouragement this is. Because it's a reminder to me that in the Lord Jesus Christ, all my deepest spiritual needs have been met, are being met, and will be met. As I trust in God my Father, as I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I need not worry. I will get to the new creation because my life with God doesn't depend on me. It depends on Jesus, the bread of life. And then finally, when we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," we are expressing our daily dependence on God for other people's needs. See, we're not to pray, "Give me today my daily bread," but "Give us today our daily bread." There is an unhealthy focus on the self in our modern purposes of providing for the needs of others. And there can be few greater and lasting joys than when we begin to actively cooperate with God in this. So, when Jesus commands his followers to pray, "Give us today our daily bread," we are expressing our daily dependence on God for all our material needs. And a number of implications of that. We won't desire to be rich. And those of us who are rich will realize that we're just as dependent on the generosity of our Heavenly Father for our existence and our daily provision as those trapped miners in Chile. And those of us who are struggling will see this as a great opportunity to lean more on God and prove his faithfulness. We're also expressing our daily dependence on God for all our spiritual needs. There can be no spiritual life, no hope of heaven without Jesus, the bread of life. And those of us who are Christians need the atoning death of Jesus today just as much as we did when we first came to put our trust in him. And then finally, we are expressing our daily dependence on God to provide for the needs of others. We're praying that God may give us the joy of passing on the resources he's given us to others, so that those in need are provided for, and that the good news of Jesus is spread. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do again want to thank you for the Lord's Prayer And thank you for how helpful it's been to us as we consider in so much more detail these petitions. Thank you that we are given a vision of your purposes for our lives. It challenges our aspirations. We want to thank you how you do so richly provide for us with everything we need, materially and spiritually, each day. Thank you again for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his atoning death on the cross. Thank you that you give us the ability to produce wealth. Thank you that you have provided us with so much so that we can share with others. Please, please, would you work in us that we may understand all this and live in the light of it. May we not be proud, but instead be overflow with generosity as you are generous to us. Amen.